Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation,
partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Hello and welcome to The Intelligence from The Economist. It's been 10 months since Russia invaded Ukraine. On the 24th of February, Russian forces crossed the borders around the country and sent tanks, troops, helicopters, and planes to subdue a country. They aimed to reach the capital Kyiv in days, storm the government, and take out Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky. Yet they never reached him, and he never fled. Instead, 38 hours into the invasion, he took a camera, walked into a famous central street in Kyiv, and held it selfie style, recording the first address to his people and the world after the invasion. We are here, he said. We defend our independence. This is how it will be from now on.
Наша країна, наші діти, і ми все це будемо захищати.
Ось і все. 10 months of grinding war later, Russia still occupies parts of the country, and the cold weather has slowed both armies. Yet Mr. Zelensky has not stopped putting out his message that Ukraine remains Ukrainian.
Українці, українки. Усі наші захисники і захисниці.
In hundreds of speeches and addresses since, that message has only become clearer.
Greetings, Glastonbury. The most terrible has happened. Russia has stolen our peace.
Бажаю здоров'я, шановні українці. Провів чергове засідання ставки.
Russia started the war against freedom as it is. This is only the beginning for Russia on the Ukrainian land.
And yesterday, perhaps among the most significant of them, Mr. Zelensky addressed America's Congress in person. It's the first time, as far as we know, that he's left his country since the war began.
The battle is not only for life, freedom and security of Ukrainians or any other nation which Russia attempts to conquer. This struggle will define in what world our children and grandchildren will live, and then their children and grandchildren. It will define whether it will be a democracy of Ukrainians and for Americans, for all.
Back in March, our editor-in-chief, Zenny Minton-Beddoes, traveled with our Russia editor, Arkady Ostrovsky, to Kyiv, where they were the first Western journalists to meet with President Zelensky after the outbreak of war.
You know, it's not about I'm brave or not. It's like I have to do this way.
Now the conflict has shifted. Victory for Ukraine feels closer. And for today's special episode of The Intelligence, Arkady was invited back again.
I remember very well last time when I visited Kyiv. It was back at the end of March. Russian troops were still around the city. The city had almost kind of like a smog of fear hanging over it. There was anxiety, and the city was empty, of course. Most people were gone at that point, evacuated to other parts of Ukraine. Curfew was at 7 o'clock. This time I traveled to Kyiv Central Station from Warsaw. The atmosphere was very different. The city has got used to the war. It's full of people. The city is bustling. The only thing which is very noticeable, obviously, is that most of the city is dark from the moment the sun sets because of the Russian attacks on electricity infrastructure. One place that never goes dark, one place that remains always light, warm, full of people, and completely calm, is the Kyiv railway station.
So I'm standing in the middle of Kyiv railway station, and there is a departure board just by the very grand granite all-Soviet staircase. And it's a very interesting departure board. It lists the routes which are not yet in operation at the moment, and they're marked in green. For example, there is a train from Kyiv to Simferopol. That's the capital of Crimea. There is a train from Kyiv to Luhansk. This is, of course, notional. This is from Kyiv to the places which are under Russian occupation. There is one line, however, which is now in white. It's on track 2, train 102, and it says Kyiv to Kherson, departure 16:38. And my understanding, and this train is actually now running.
Ukraine has just liberated Kherson, a very important city in the south. It's gained quite a lot of land back. Since March, since I last saw President Zelensky, Russians are no longer around Kyiv. A lot of the territory has been liberated. There is still a lot more to do. The military are by no means triumphant, but there is a sense of confidence that this country can actually do it. And this difference also showed in the circumstances in which I met President Zelensky this time. And Zelensky now greeted me in his proper office. It's a very ornate, quite lavish office, as befits a country of 40 million people with long history. And he looked different as well. Some of the adrenaline, I think, and the sense of emergency, which was clearly there when we met him in March, is gone. On the one hand, he is much more tired. You can tell how much this war has taken out of him. He's aged. He is really quite exhausted, but in good spirit. I greeted him in Ukrainian, the best Ukrainian I could master, and I was very flattered he complimented me on my very limited Ukrainian. And one thing, as we sat down at his desk, he was completely at ease, as he always is. I noticed that on the side of his desk, there was a stack of books.
I can see a book on your desk, and it's Hitler and Stalin.
Yeah. Lawrence Rees.
Is that what you're reading at the moment?
I read two.
Can I have a... Oh, you, so you have...
For fun.
You have George Orwell.
Orwell and Grushevsky.
And you have the volume by Mikhail Grushevsky. Yes. Narys istoriya ukrainskogo naroda. And you have a book.
And this is, I'm here, almost half of the book I read. Сталін і Гітлер, тирани Другої світової війни, Лоренс Ріс. Цікава книжка.
I'm going to read it.
You have to.
I'm going to read
the second one. I didn't start yet. I love to read 3-4 books parallel.
You find time to read books. That's amazing.
Sometimes.
Дуже дякую.
Я читаю в 6 ранку. When I wake up in the morning, early in the morning, I also have sunglasses. And early in the morning at 6 o'clock, I read not too much, don't have much time.
This is not light reading. These are obviously heavy books, both in weight and in substance. The fact that Zelensky actually completely retains also his lightness of touch and his sense of humor, I think, also came through in our conversation.
Нормально.
Дякую вам. So we're here.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
Дякую за книжку, до речі.
It's been 8 months since I saw you last, and a lot has changed. How are you feeling? Як ви? And it's not just a polite question.
Why?
Like,
sometimes
really
we need just polite questions. Really?
The president switches frequently during our chat between English and Ukrainian, and we've had someone translate and voice his Ukrainian words into English.
У мене немає роздвоєння моєї особистості, тому я себе почуваю нормально.
I don't suffer from split personality, so I feel normal.
Виклики дуже боляче.
There are some challenges. It is very painful, really painful for the people.
Щоденні ці виклики.
Every day people have to deal with challenges. Lights, energy, and there are many things.
When I ask you how you are, we're sitting in a different office now. We're not in the Situation Room. It's well lit. And you're not wearing your hockey, famous hockey t-shirt that's become the icon. You're wearing a fleece saying, I'm Ukrainian. This looks much more peaceful. What does that tell us? Is life getting more normal?
No, I have my green.
Okay.
It was a little bit cold for me. Now it's hotter, much hotter for now, but it was really very cold from the morning. So that means, I mean that you want to hear that it's more peaceful today in Ukraine. No, we've got differentiation of the war. maybe if I can use such word, in south, somewhere in Azov region, occupied territory, in some villages in Zaporozhye, there was nothing in occupied electricity, water, nothing. And in Kherson, the situation is where people so happy that we came, that we deoccupied it already, but on the other bank of the Dnipro, so they used artillery to Kherson. To that people whom yesterday they said that we are one people. So, and in Kyiv, not so dangerous, but they began to use rockets. Yes, after occupation began, drones, Iranian, exactly. So I can't compare the situation which was and which we have.
So we moved 10 months into the war.
Yeah.
You've written a book, A Message from Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. The proceeds from this book go to United 24, which is a Ukrainian government foundation which collects money from volunteers around the world. It's your book of speeches. You wrote an introduction. I was honored to write a preface.
Yeah.
When was the first time you realized that what you're saying really mattered? Words are really, really important.
I think it was before the war, and even before the presidency. I always believe that a word clearly is a verb. A word is a weapon that can be used preventatively, and on the way to a big war, you can always try to resolve the conflict in a dialogue, and that is why it's very important.
Тому це дуже важливо, але треба зрозуміти, що слово, напевно, в нашому випадку і в моєму житті.
But we must understand what in our case and in my life as a president, words played a big positive role.
Активну велику роль, не те, що велику, а саме...
Not even big, but positive from the point of bringing people together from different parts. And I think one of such moments was when I appealed to our people in order to get through the disinformation spreading on the first day. But we are not there that we run away.
Через ту дезінформацію, поширену у перший же день.
It was not a speech. It was my short address. But we are here. But we are not going anywhere. And we will be here until the end.
Мені здається, цей момент, він мав особливу...
This moment had a special effect on uniting people on their faith. Because in war, every person needs some kind of a magnet around whom you can unite to be strong. It seems to me that it was such a moment.
I think this was the most important moment of the war. In some ways, everything rested on that moment. I remember both of those videos, the first one in the evening of the 24th, when you came out with Yermak, with Podolyak, with everybody and saying, Я тут.
Всім добрий вечір. Лідер фракції тут. Голова Офісу Президента тут, прем'єр-міністр Шмигаль тут, Подоляк тут, президент тут. Всі ми тут, наші військові тут.
And then again in the morning after you've survived that day. And by that time we already knew, you've also spoken to the Americans, you've said this iconic phrase, I need ammo, not a ride. You came out with a selfie camera. You stood outside the office.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I didn't remember at what time I had phone call with President Biden. And then we checked it, yes, and saw that President Biden was the first. Really, he was the first president with whom I had phone call.
And then you came out with a camera. I mean, how conscious were you what you were doing in a sense that, you know, there are cameras now standing here. You could have had anything, but you came out with a phone and you held it yourself. And it was a social media, kind of short, 32 seconds. Everything rested on that moment. Why? How did you decide to do that?
My feeling. That's it. The Ukrainskую інтуїція, що...
What we need now You know, it's like a parent. When something happens to a child away from the parents, but the parents, for some reason, wake up and feel that something has happened. You don't know what, but it is not right. You have to call straight away and find your child and do it. That's why it was the same feeling that we need now. We need something now because these missiles must be responded to, and we will respond. And we need to respond with every weapon, something like that.
Zelensky's ability to draw in his personal audience is incredible. He's done it in Ukraine, and since the start of the war, he's been doing it across the world. In March, he became the first foreign leader to address Britain's House of Commons.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, I'm addressing all the people of the United Kingdom.
It was repeated in the US Congress.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you the President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. Slava Ukraina!
And to more than 20 other parliaments around the world.
President Göring-Eckardt, шановний пан канцлер Шольц.
And he's even spoken at festivals and award ceremonies, including Cannes Film Festival.
Le président ukrainien Volodymyr Zelensky.
And his speeches, of course, have been a leitmotif of this war. These are the speeches which really put Ukraine on the map, not just the physical map, but the mental map.
A crime has been committed against Ukraine, and we demand just punishment. The crime was committed against our state borders. The crime was committed against the lives of our people.
His words resonate because he speaks with enough moral clarity, empathy, and force that it left few people indifferent, and it also drew them in, just like a good actor draws the audience into his performance.
How important was your acting experience? I mean, actually, the first time we met, before the war, you and I actually talked about theatre. I don't know whether you
remember. Yes, I remember. I remember, yeah.
How important was your acting experience, film experience, in everything that you've done and you've addressed?
I think all this experience is important. Of course, it's big practice, what I had in previous my life. So, yes, all of us have some lives. So, I mean that, of course, practice, of course, not to be afraid, because, you know, there are so many people there where in life they are brave people, but when they see camera, something happens. Yes, it's okay. I think it's nervous situation just for people. But really, what about acting? My attitude always was when I produced some movies. So acting without acting, that is my attitude to this great profession. Yes, acting without acting, because people have not to watch. Not to watch movie, to believe that you are now a part of this real story, real comedy or tragic moments, doesn't matter. To believe, how to believe, not to act. That's it.
One of the most striking things you've said when we first spoke during the war, and the one that stuck in my mind, and which in fact shaped our description of how Ukraine's been doing, is that what matters to you is human life. That saving lives is the most important. I asked you at the time, what's victory? And your answer was saving as many lives as possible, because territory, land is good, but it's just territory. Without people, it means nothing. Then on the 24th of August, you gave a speech on the Independence Day and saying, Ukraine, we're no longer interested just in peace, we're now interested in victory.
Та перемога України. Ми об'єднались з Днем Незалежності, Україно. Слава Україні.
How is your sense of victory changed? And what is it now?
Чесно кажучи, я
honestly speaking, my attitude towards people has no changed at all. On the contrary, I believe that this is one of the real treasures of Ukraine. And the fact that the people withstood it, united, it shows that these people have a simple truth, meaning, and it is in their family, in their land, in their flag.
They can't live without, you know, without these very warm, important things, family, children, about land, about their houses. So all of this is a part of the people. Very important.
And people don't want to change that. And they don't want to change their identity. And we are defending it. Therefore, a victory is when a person is alive. And he or she has retained all of this. You can tell them, listen, there is something with your anthem, your flag, or your language. You can choose what you want. It's your right. Choose what you want, but don't choose for me.
But you have very hard decision to make now. As the winter comes, as the war slows down, as your allies start wondering what, where's it all going, where does it end, where is victory, etc. And you are now in the position of making a strategic choice of either carrying on, and you've been talking about the borders of 1991, or saving lives and saying, no, actually, this will be just, the prices will be just too high. Depending on what you decide now will determine the outcome of this war.
Ніхто не знає до кінця.
Nobody knows for sure what will happen tomorrow. Nobody knows what to expect from Russia under this military political leadership. In this war, it is philosophically important to go to our borders from 1991. It is important for the world because it is the result of the fact that no matter who is where tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, a month. Remember what will happen. People will unite. The whole world will unite against one aggression. No matter how big it is, it will lose.
I think this is a very important message for Vladimir Zelensky. He says he can't just give up on the territory, including the one that Russia grabbed before 2014, which includes, of course, Crimea and eastern Donbass. He insists that Ukraine has to go all the way back to the borders of 1991 when it became an independent state. And it's not just obsession with land for him. I think it's to do with what constitutes today Ukrainian identity and how much that identity is now tied to land. He also knows that if Russia is allowed to freeze this conflict, as it did in 2014 after annexing Crimea and taking Donbass, it will only be the matter of time before it gathers more resources, more strength, and re-attacks again. There is no line that can be drawn now which will make the rest of Ukraine secure. And to him, bringing peace and ending the war is key. And just as I asked him in March what constitutes victory, I think he is just as clear now. It's retaining what Ukraine is. It's retaining its way of life, which are now also means getting land back.
We are not at war with Russia. Russia is at war with us on our territory. They have to withdraw.
And I think this is where land and identity actually come now together. All they want is their land back. Because as Zelensky said, it's not Ukraine that attacked Russia and fighting with Russia. It's Russia that attacked Ukraine and fighting with Ukrainians on their own territory.
How is it now? Say okay, let's stop and we take Donbass, the south of our country, or part of it, and Crimea remains with them. Why? Because it is time to do so and you should? We'll not be able to. No one will forgive it.
But how many lives are you going to lose?
Ми не втрачаємо людей.
We are not losing people. You have to understand. Russia came and they are killing our people.
Putin по обидві сторони забирає людей.
Putin takes people from both sides. He takes our people and sends his citizens to get killed. How many is he ready for? If he now withdraws to the 1991 borders, when the possible path of diplomats will begin?
Шлях дипломатів.
That is who can really turn the war from the military path to a diplomatic one. Only he can do it.
Дипломатично. Тільки він. Тільки він.
Do you think the Ukrainian people now understand, or do you understand that in order, that in a way your, call it mission, your job, whatever, is to finish fascism? That it's not just about territory, it is about fascism. And that unless it's defeated militarily, it will come back. That's what I was asking before, and how do you balance it with people, Ukrainians, who I talk to and saying, we will liberate our territory, they can go and live wherever they want to live, you know, the Russians, but we want our children back, because life for Ukrainians is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Where is that balance between the idea that you have to defeat this dark force on the one hand, on the other, people want their children back in Ukraine. How do you balance those big geopolitical ideas and strategy with the fact that people want their children back?
Because I don't need to balance with Russians.
For Ukrainians. I mean, how do you balance
anyway,
it?
We don't, for today, we don't need it because, you know, that not more than 95 or 96% of people want to deoccupate all their territory after a Russian did it. I think the most big mistake, or the big mistake was on 2014. But the biggest mistake, the tragedy was on 24th of February. Because that is the point when nobody wants to come back to any compromises. The mistake of all the country, of all the people, because they gave him possibility. Because he knows his audience. He knew that if society of Russia will not support him, he will not go. He prepared long time. He prepared audience, prepared Russians for this full-scale invasion. Is he brave? No. Because he's afraid of all his society.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
One could go as far as to call this war a war of words, because propaganda machine is very powerful on the Russian side. In fact, this war could not have been waged by Putin without his control over Russian television and the media. Zelensky has a very different mode of delivering his message and a very different way of speaking to his people. Putin, of course, speaks to them from the screen of the television, telling them what to do, telling them to go to war, completely wrapping them in their propaganda. It is effective. It's effective for a part of Russian society, particularly the older part of the demographic, people over age of 55, 60, who succumb and watch television. Vladimir Zelensky uses a very different method. He understands that he needs to talk to people as equals. He is people's man. He's everyone's man. And this has been incredibly effective. And he's actually managed to beat Russia at its propaganda a lot of the time. I think we hear his voice partly or largely because he's actually telling the truth, unlike Putin, whose whole war is based on lie and falsehood.
You've given thousands of speeches. You've given a thousand speeches, and each speech has been, you know, people listen, you got the attention, And you're speaking not just to the governments, you're speaking to nations. But after 10 months of the war, it must be quite hard to find new words. How do you find new words?
I'm not finding.
How do you keep it?
Слова. Вони ж...
Words. You want to convey the meaning. Unfortunately, these words are a form of expression of emotions or thoughts.
Емоції або думки. Це слова.
I say unfortunately, because the real war prompts these words. You cannot invent such stories. They seized a nuclear power plant. His logic is simply, I don't want it to work. I don't want anybody to have light. It is a terrorist logic.
But you're only human. You are a human being.
And I don't want to change.
And we don't want you to change. But you are probably the most recognized politician in the world. You're certainly the biggest celebrity in the world. There are Hollywood actors coming here. Sean Penn, this.
With
that,
Oscar.
With Oscar.
With Oscar. So you now I never had.
So you now got an Oscar. That's fantastic. Yeah, and I'm sure you have.
But I will bring him back. Yes, I told him that after the victory, I will come back and bring him.
How do you keep sane? How do you control your own ego? How do you say, it's not just me?
Because it's not interesting. It's not interesting to be, you know, very popular and have so power to... It's not interesting. It's not funny.
Is acting more interesting? Is theater, film?
No, no. Interesting film acting is not interesting at all now, and I'm not thinking about it. I don't know if it will be in my life. I don't know. I don't really know. But interesting is to help and is to join. Even that leaders who never helped Ukraine. And that is interesting. It's not the funny story. That is tragedy. Again, I repeat, that is the war. But it's interesting to explain the world, what's going on in the world. Not only in their places or in their warm houses. So the world is much, much bigger.
What do you want to do after the war?
Oh, I don't know. Huh? I wanted really, yes, to swim. I want to see, really. I want to go and to see this sea.
The last question, it's coming.
In Crimea, I really want in Crimea.
So,
but in Kherson, I love the sea in Kherson.
So this is podcast. This is new. This is not the camera. So... this is coming to Christmas. You've given a lot of speeches. I'm sorry to ask you that. What do you want to say to people at Christmas? I mean, you have a chance now to talk to 5 million people. Your book, as some English journalist said, should be under every Christmas tree. What's your wish? And what do you want to wish people?
People.
What do you want to say?
Save your love. Save your love. Your love is your neighbors, your relatives, your parents, your children, your nation. That is what we love. Some people love, you know, their hobby, their work, their job. Save it, because I think life consists of so lovely, pretty things. And I think that the meaning, the main meaning of the life, not, you know, not to change life and other people. I don't know how to say it in English, sorry. I mean, that's як допомагати і прикрашати.
To help and bring colors to someone's life, not to worsen and not to be a burden for someone. They say that every person has a mission. It seems to me that the greatest mission in the world is not to disturb others. I think so. But to help.
After 10 months of the war, you have love and not hate?
I have love. And I have hate. I told you to whom I have. I have so big heart, So you see how much hate I have to somebody.
So in one way, you could say Ukraine has already won. Ukraine already achieved probably the most important thing. It has become a true nation. People have come together as they'd never done before. They showed more courage and more agency. This country cannot be subjugated anymore. It's not about military. It's about spirits. It's about the power of intellect and consciousness. And militarily, of course, in some ways, Ukraine has turned the corner. It has liberated territory. It fended off Russian attacks around Kyiv. It's driven Russians out of Kharkiv. But neither Zelensky nor his generals are in the least triumphant. They know this is going to be a very hard winter. They know this is going to be a very long war. Because Vladimir Putin is not going to stop, because it's not about territory. It's about the existence of Ukraine. And our future, the future of liberal democracies in Europe, all the things that we hold dear in terms of values, are now being fought over on the Eastern Front of Ukraine.
So this is a train, track number one, train 111, Kyiv to Perimoha, Kyiv to victory, arrival 2022. Might be a little late, a few weeks, months, let's hope it's not years that's late. That will be the most welcome train, I think, in Ukraine, from Kyiv to victory.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation,
partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.